had your primer. Hand raising. It's kind of a weird thing that we do in church, isn't it? Like, I mean, what on earth are we doing? Why do we raise our hands? In what other situation in my life would I, like, raise my hands like that? I mean, except for, like, maybe when I win a sporting competition. Or when my team wins a sporting competition. Or I score a political victory. Or I just want to wave at someone. I mean, all this hand-raising in church is really unprecedented. Nobody really ever does it. I'm not a hand-raiser myself, except maybe when I'm dancing with friends, or when I'm at a concert, or when I'm jumping up at the edge of a cliff. Why do people do this? Like what we want is we want it to look like we're jumping to our death. So here we go. But I mean, all this hand raising, you know, it's like it's unnatural, it's forced, it's so phony, except when people of all ages, all over the world, do it naturally to express all kinds of different emotions in a completely unforced, unphony, very real way. I think you get my point. Sometimes we look at these things that people do in church and, you know, things like singing and shouting and jumping and dancing and even raising hands, and we think they're like the weirdest thing. But if you take a second, look around, what you realize is that we do these things in all sorts of other places and times in our lives without really thinking much about it. And in fact, raising of the hands is one of the most common and universal expressions among humanity, nearly as universal as smiling. All over the world, people raise their hands in certain times to express certain things. And researchers have spent a lot of time and energy trying to figure out why it is that all over the world, in completely disconnected cultures, people tend to raise their hands for the same reasons, to signify the same things. The most common expression of raised hands is that of victory or celebration. One researcher discovered that even people who have never seen anyone else raise their hands before, people who are born blind, culturally isolated, still naturally raise their hands. This is not a learned behavior. It seems to be an innate behavior. Like it's hardwired into us, like smiling or breathing. And different people have offered various explanations to why we might do this. No one really knows. Some have offered that it's a way of making ourselves look bigger. You know, a show of dominance, when we feel confident. Others have suggested that we raise our arms when we no longer feel threatened. We're not covering ourselves up. We're not, you know, all your vital organs are sort of accessible right here when you leave this open. And so when you win, when you no longer feel threatened, you can open up, right? You don't have to protect yourself anymore. You've won. But whatever the explanation, lifting hands is one of the most natural things that we do as human beings. This morning, we're going to start a short series called Come to Worship, where we're going to explore a little bit about what it means to worship, some of the ways that we worship, and then what the result of that worship can be. And today, I want to look at this most common of expressions, not only in worship, but in life. Lift your hands. But first, let me pray that God will open our eyes, ears, and hearts to what he has for us this morning. God, it's amazing that you've created us in a certain way, that there are certain universals as we go around the world in completely disconnected cultures, we find commonality, that any human being that we come across, whether there's someone who is like us or very different than us, age, ethnicity, none of those things matter. There are certain commonalities among every single human being. And that the more we press into that, the more we recognize that we're so much alike. God, I pray that as we dig into this series on worship, and this morning specifically as we talk about this interesting act of lifting hands, that we'll recognize the universality of it, God, the global nature of worship that you've wired into us. God, I ask that you open our eyes to see things the way that you would see them, that you open our ears to hear you speak to us individually and as a group. God, that you would open our hearts, give us tender hearts to absorb the things that you have for us. To both learn, to enact, but also, God, just to soak up your love this morning. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place to do the things that only you can do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the series is called Come to Worship. It might be good to talk a little bit about what worship really means. The English word worship comes from a combination of the word worth, as in value, and the suffix ship, as in you would find words like internship, friendship, championship. That suffix ship simply means to indicate status or position. So a friendship is when we give someone the status of being a friend. Championships bestow the status of champion on the winner. Go Blues. When we worship, then, we're assigning a status of worth or worthiness to the object of our worship. The Kiswahili word for worship, ibada, means reverence. The identical word, ibada, in Arabic means service. So you see, we're kind of getting there, aren't we? Worshiping God is about recognizing his worthiness, having reverence for him, serving him. In the Bible, there are several different words translated worship. A few Hebrew words. One means to prostrate oneself or to bow low. Another means to work or to serve. One means to seek. Another means to revere, all translated into this word worship, or in Swahili, ibada. And there are three Greek words in the New Testament translated worship. The primary one that's used means to kiss. It's a very intimate thing. Another means to hold in awe or revere. The third means, again, to serve. So you can see this definition forming here. Worshiping God is about recognizing his worth, about revering him or having a deep admiration for him, loving, respecting him. It's also about seeking his ways and serving him, but then about kissing. It's an intimate thing. Most importantly, in all of these words, there's this idea that worship is not a singular act, but it's an all-encompassing aspect of life. It's not a task you perform. It's part of your being. It's part of your constant expression. We are to be worshipers, consistent in love and devotion to God. You know, it'd be weird if I said, hey, we're going to start off this morning with about 20 minutes of love. Or every Sunday, I go to this place and I love God, just one day a week. Like 1 hour, you know, some churches are more spiritual. They love God for like 4 hours a week. But you know, that would be like saying, you know what? I am a very good husband because I love my wife 1 hour a week. Like every week, without fail, I love my wife for 1 hour. I'm faithful to her like 4 days a month. You'd be like, dude, I don't think that's a very good husband. It doesn't work like that. Either I love her or I don't. Either I'm faithful or I'm not. It's either all the time or it's nothing. Likewise, we don't worship God for 20 minutes or only on Sundays. If we worship God, we worship him always. If we love God, we love him always. It's a constant state. And one of the postures of worship that's mentioned throughout the Bible is this idea of lifting hands. So what is this posture about and why is it so important? We're told in the Bible that God is blessed by our lifted hands. And there's no like explanation for it, just like he likes it. Okay. We're told that lifted hands can be an offering to God, which, you know, sometimes you don't have a whole lot to give, right? Like lifting just like empty hands, God says it's an offering to him. That should make you feel good. You've always got something to give. The psalmist in Psalm 63 really expresses what it means to worship God. He says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there's no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and I will what? In your name, I will lift up my hands. This is an integral part of worship in the Bible. But the question is, why does God like it so much? Well, you know, as a father, I think I kind of get this. Our littlest one, Ellie, has been sick for the better part of 2 weeks. And this week I was with Ellie quite a bit. She spent a lot of time in my lap. And those of you who know Ellie know that she's a live wire. She's a high-energy kid. She's running all over. She's climbing. She's bouncing off the walls. But when she's sick, she's a little calmer and a lot more cuddly. And this week, it seems that all Ellie wanted to do was for me to hold her. And so she would come to me multiple times a day, arms outstretched, and say, "Daddy, please carry me." Right? It's that exact same posture that we read about in the Bible, lifting up the hands. And as her dad, I almost can't say no to that, right? She's so tiny. She lifts up her little hands, asking to be held. And my heart melts. Of course, I'm going to hold her, even though she's like got snotty nose and neck. And the funny thing is, to me, when I started thinking about it, she doesn't actually have to lift her hands. Like there's no benefit for lifting her hands. It's not like I'm going to pick her up by her hands, right? She lifts her hands to express her desire to be picked up and held, and it expresses that even more than the words that she says. For some reason, that motion expresses that desire. And I think our posture of lifted hands in worship expresses something similar to God. You know, in the Bible, the book of James, the writer says, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." But the thing is, I'm kind of like Ellie. I'm like tiny compared to God, right? I'm not tiny compared to many people, but I'm tiny compared to God. So I lift up my hands. I say, "Daddy, please carry me." I'm doing what I can to come nearer to him. And it melts his heart. How could he say no? He looks at us. He knows there's nothing that we can do to really bridge that gap. No matter how high we stretch our arms, we're still so small. But he recognizes that desire in us. He responds to us just like I respond to little Ellie. He bends toward us and he picks us up. So with all these reasons for raising our hands, can we distill this down into something manageable? I always like for you to walk away with some nugget when you leave here. So I think we can. I think we can sort of boil this down to really a couple of reasons that people raise their hands in worship. And the first is pretty simple. It's that we lift our hands in response, sort of a natural response, just like the victorious athlete. There are times when we're so overcome with joy, with a sense of victory, encouragement, love, accomplishment, confidence, that we just naturally raise our hand. Just seems like the thing to do. And in doing so, we open ourselves to that posture that exposes us, right? We feel safe. We don't feel threatened. We know that God's got this. It's a natural response. And so it kind of doesn't need an explanation except to say that it's natural, which means it's okay for you to do. Because I know for some of you, you might actually be censoring yourself at times. You know, like you think, like, "I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want to be one of those hand-raising people." But really, I mean, do you censor yourself the same way when your football team scores a goal? Or five? Do you censor yourself in the same way when your favorite song comes on? Like, "Oh, yeah." No, probably not. You do what comes natural, don't you? Your hands sort of naturally go up. One of my girl's favorite movies is about this alien that comes to Earth. And at one point in the show, the little girl that he sort of befriended starts playing some music. And he sort of naturally starts dancing and starts raising his hands, and he freaks out because he doesn't know why. Like, why is it that I just want to dance to this song? It's natural stuff. And it's okay. It's okay when you're watching football. It's okay when you're dancing. And it's okay when you're in church. And so that's one reason. A lot of people lift their hands in worship. It's just a natural response. I'm not gonna dwell on that. Because I want to spend some time this morning on the second reason that I think we lift our hands in worship. And that is that it's something that's done in preparation for a worshipful experience. In other words, it's a posture meant to bring the person into a worshipful state. Most of the encouragement from biblical authors about lifting hands is of this variety. It's not worship God so much that you naturally lift your hands. It's lift your hands and worship God. The lifting of hands actually prepares us and helps us to worship. The Apostle Paul, one of the most prominent biblical authors, wrote this to his protege, Timothy. He said, "Therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing." Now think about that. The act of worship he was encouraging involved lifting up hands, he says, without anger or dispute. Remember that posture, exposing your body, saying, "I'm willing to open myself up," recognizing that someone could injure me. Someone could harm me when I lift my hands like this. But I'm here to worship. I place my trust in God, and so I open myself up. I throw off that anger, that mistrust, and I focus myself on worship. It's a preparatory posture. It actually prepares our bodies and minds for this spiritual experience that we're engaging in. Amy Cuddy is a professor and researcher at Harvard Business School. Pretty smart woman. And her research emphasis is body language. Specifically, she looks at how the posture of our bodies can affect not only other people, but ourselves. And much of her research of late has focused on how a person's body and body language can actually physiologically affect the body. So how changes in our posture can actually cause tangible, measurable, chemical, and biological results, changes. Cuddy and her team have identified a group of postures that actually cause hormone changes in the body. One of the postures she studied is the classic victory pose, arms in the air. And you know what the results were? A 20% increase in testosterone levels, which is both a driver and indicator of confidence, and a 25% decrease in cortisol levels. Cortisol is a stress hormone. This is across the board, men and women, all different walks of life. 25% increase in confidence hormones, 25% decrease in stress hormones. Well, just when people raise their arms above their heads. Remember, this is not theology. It's not psychology. This is biology. It's a measurable physical change happening in the body. And you know how long it took for that change to occur? 2 minutes. 2 minutes. They asked their subjects to hold their arms above their head for 2 minutes, and then they measured and saw these dramatic effects. In Amy Cuddy's words, our bodies change our minds. Our minds can change our behavior, and our behavior can change our outcomes. To put it in church terms, lifting our hands can cause changes in our mental, physical, and spiritual state. We can actually become better worshipers, better lovers and followers of God simply by taking this posture. Now, I'm a pastor, not a scientist. And so if I stood up here and said, "Lifting your hands will make you a better worshiper of God," you'd be like, "That dude is crazy." I wouldn't even believe that, right? Like I wouldn't go for that. But there's scientific evidence that backs this up. And the Bible says, lift your hands in worship. It seems to indicate there's something sort of special about lifting your hands. And science says, guess what? There is something special about lifting your hands. God made you this way. I think it's kind of cool when modern science confirms ancient biblical truths. Now, there are other kinds of lifted hands. We know this. There are hands raised in confusion. There are hands raised in offering. There are hands raised in surrender. And these kind of lifted hands are the ones that make us the most nervous, aren't they? The hands lifted when a gunman has his weapon trained on you. The hands lifted offering all that you have in desperation. The hands lifted when you reach the end of your abilities and you don't know what to do. The beauty of lifting hands in worship is that whatever state we find ourselves in, we can lift our hands, that we can both give to God and receive from Him at the same time. When you surrender to God, when you reach the end of yourself, when you're confused, when you give everything you have left to Him, that's when you find victory in your battles, when you're filled with confidence and excitement. It's when you say, look what God has done in me and through me and to me. When you surrender, that's when you win. So I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. This is just a little experiment. Scientific research says if you lift your hands for 2 minutes, it changes the chemicals in your body to give you more confidence and less stress. Even if you don't believe any of this God stuff, you're sitting here like, I don't know about this whole God thing. Okay, fine. But surely increasing confidence and reducing stress can't be a bad thing. Anybody want to lower stress this morning? It's the strongest amen I think I've ever gotten. That's amazing. So what I want to do, I want to play a song. There's a video. A song's about 3 minutes long, so it's better than 2 minutes, right? Maybe you'll see a 30% increase in confidence. But I want you to try this. I'm just going to ask you, everybody, to stand up. We're just going to lift our hands during this song. And if you feel like singing or praying or whatever, that's great. But at the very least, just lift your hands and let's see what happens. Science tells us you'll feel better afterwards, right? The Bible tells us that there's something that God really likes about this. And I like doing stuff that God likes. So we're just going to do this. So would you just stand up with me? And Pamela's going to roll this video. At the end of it, I'll come back up and pray to close us out. So you may have never lifted your hands in worship before. You may never do it again. That's fine. But can you just take part in this experiment this morning? Okay? Go ahead and roll that video.
Yeah.
I lift my hands to believe again. Our posture affects our worship. Our body changes our mind, which changes our outcome. This is not hocus pocus. This is science. This is the way that God made us. And so I think it makes sense to thank God for making us this way, for giving us a way to draw nearer to Him with our physical posture. Even if we aren't there spiritually or mentally or emotionally, we can take that posture that changes our minds. So let's thank God for that right now. I just want to pray. God, all across the internet, we see these things called life hacks. And God, somehow you've given us a life hack that says when we don't feel close to you, that we can lift our hands and say, Daddy, please carry me. And you will. So God, we thank you. We thank you for this posture of lifting our hands. We thank you for giving us ways of worshiping you, not with just our words or the actions that we sort of offer towards others, but just any place, any time, even by ourselves, that you've created our bodies to worship you in certain ways. God, help us to not censor ourselves. Help us to not be ashamed or afraid. Help us to just go for it. And recognize that you're going to love it and that we're going to feel better afterwards. It's a win-win. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you would just stay standing, I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you before you go this morning. But if you need prayer for anything, after I've said the blessing, just make your way on up here. I'll be around. Melody will be here. Edgar will be here. We just want to pray for you. It may be something related to what I've said this morning. It may be something completely different. If you need prayer for anything, part of being a community like this is that we get to pray for each other. So we want to do that. So let me pray a prayer of blessing, and then you can come up for prayer if you want it, or you can go, and there might be a little bit of tea left. I don't know. So I bless you to go with a recognition that God is already victorious in your life. The recognition that you don't have to protect yourself, that you don't have to cower in fear, because you serve a great God who allows you to lift your hands, to believe again, to be confident, to lower your stress levels. So I bless you to go in the confidence of that God as you walk out your life this week in the city. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. You guys have a great week. We'll see you back here next week.